So most moms are always struggling with feeling tired or overwhelmed or having mom guilt. And I just thought, you know, how can I encourage the moms this Mother's Day? What's the best way to encourage them? And I thought, you know what? Christine Kane just needs to give us one of her empowering pep talks, which is really a punch in the gut talk from her, and help us just jolt us out of these mindsets and these thoughts and feelings that we're having, because every mom I talk to, like, that's the dominating thoughts they're always having. And I was like, well, Christine doesn't put up with any of that. She's going to set us straight, you know? So Christine, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your family and yourself.
Okay. Well, Jessica, I'm so honored to be here, and I love church down there in Corpus Christi and San Antonio. You guys have expanded since I've been down there, so thank you for inviting me to be part of Mother's Day. And, well, I love Mother's Day. I've got, you know, two daughters, you know that. Mm-hmm. Nick and I, well, I am married to the single most ravishing piece of masculine flesh on planet Earth. So Nick and I have been married 28 years. Woo-hoo. And we have Catherine, who's 22, and she's a junior at Pepperdine. Awesome. So here at Malibu in California. So same sort of coastline as Corpus Christi, you know. And then I have Sophia, who is a senior in high school, but just as I was coming in for us to have this chat, she called me on the phone, so excited to tell me that she's just been accepted at the American University in Paris. So wow. My daughter will be going to school in France.
Wow. Of course. Of course your daughter is going to school overseas, and it'll be no big deal.
No big deal.
For her.
No. She already knows that, you know, she went and had all checked it all out. And she's been to Paris because I've had the privilege to speak there many times. Yeah. So many, like over a dozen times. So she's very familiar.
Yeah. With it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Oh darn. You have to go visit Paris some more, right?
I know. That's what I said. Suddenly I just feel led by the Lord to have to just minister in churches all over Paris. Yeah. I'm just going to have to say yes.
And they have great restaurants there.
Yes, they do. And I'm a foodie, so it is the will of God in Christ Jesus that I go and be a good mother to my daughter.
Yes. Well, so not only is Christine an amazing mom and wife, I just want to take a second to brag on her. She is a very well sought after speaker. For over 30 years, she's been traveling the globe, spreading the hope of Jesus, a dynamic speaker. She's also a best-selling author of over a dozen books and studies. She hosts two podcasts, and her and Nick have also founded Empower and Equip Ministries and A21 Campaign, which is an anti-human trafficking organization, Propel Women, which helps women activate to their find their purpose, their God-given purpose. And we're not done. They planted three churches in Europe. So you can see why she's one of my heroes. I mean, this is a true, real-life living, trailblazing, world-changer mom. So, of course, we'd want to interview you on Mother's Day.
Wow.
So speaking of world-changers, when I'm with my mom friends and we're talking, we're all like, oh, we want to raise our kids to be world-changers and change the world. And so what advice would you give moms and grandmas, because a lot of grandmas are helping shaping their grandkids.
For sure.
How do you lay that foundation and plant those seeds to, you know, help them develop into world changers one day?
You know, I love that. I think it actually starts with all the little stuff that we think doesn't matter. It's us living on purpose and with intentionality where we are. So there's one thing, you go, you know, Chris Kane's running an anti-trafficking organization or doing this. Most of us live very normal, ordinary lives. And I think the best way to raise world changers is to say, wherever my sphere of influence is, so whether you're a stay-at-home mum or you're homeschooling or whether you're working and, you know, you've got to get up and go to work every day, that your kids can see you living your life on purpose for Jesus, and that you're basically living a Jesus-first life. That doesn't mean a perfect life. It doesn't mean that we get everything right all the time, but it does mean, I think, so for my kids, one thing that they're going to be able to say a lot of things, but the one thing they'll never say, and I think, you know, I've heard them often, they'll never say the woman on the platform was any different to the woman at home.
That's great.
They would say to you, they'd go, Miss Jessica, yeah, my mum is this intense all the time.
Like, yeah, you know, like,
and I think that consistency, that fact that they just saw an intentionality of loving Jesus, and, you know, when life gets tough, when we have challenges, because we all do, when we have struggles, that instead of sort of collapsing, that they're seeing that even in the midst of all of that, I'm still trying to honor God. I'm still sort of trusting God in all of it. which then puts in them something that goes, I want to live a life that is bigger than me. And I think we can all do that. So it's not like everyone's got to go start an anti-trafficking organization or do something huge, but all of us can do something, whether we're serving in church. So it's like your kids see you not only kind of managing your own household and work or whatever it is that you do, but you're saying, you know, for a couple of hours every week, we're prioritizing, we serve in church. So what your kids are learning is that we're living for something bigger than us, that we're not just a family that consumes, but we give as well. So some people think, does it really matter? Does it really matter that I get up and bring my kids to church? Yes, I laugh sometimes post-COVID. You know, a lot of families have forgotten how to put hard pants on, man. They're still in their sweats watching. And, of course, you can watch online if there's something wrong and you have to. Of course, that's why we have that service. But I think going to the trouble where you think, does it really matter? Could I be bothered? You have no idea. Your kid's watching you getting dressed. All the hassle. Eat your breakfast. Don't drop your cereal. Get in the back of the car. All the drama that we all... and. Even I have, like, Sophia, get up. And, yes, we have – you have four service times to choose from. Yeah, like, which one are you coming to? Mom, I'm going to watch online. No, you're not. You have two legs and a body and you have a car and you can drive yourself to school. So guess what? If you want gas in that car, these are – I'm being like, really?
Yeah.
This is how you do wheelchair. You want gas in your car this week? You want me to pay for it? Now, you will be going to church and you will be serving. And – but, Christine, you know – you're a pastor and, you know, your kid's going to rebel. No, if I'm paying for their gas to go to school or to go out with their friends, you're coming to church and you have lots of services. So, no, we're not having a discussion. You're living in my home. Which service are you coming to exactly? And which service are you serving in?
Yeah.
Exactly, because that's what this family does. Mm-hmm. We serve and we get, I'm trying to be really practical to you, but I'm saying this is what it comes down to.
What I want to... obviously love everything you're saying, but what I would love to say to all the moms watching, like, this is a very busy woman, okay? This is a very busy woman. And for her to be making time to make sure that, I mean, I'm sure there's times you just got off a flight and you're like, we're going to church, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And you made it a priority. Yeah.
We came now, you know, I've been to six countries and so my kids are older, but I will call them or Nick will call them from wherever we are. And if that means at 3 a.m. to say, hi, I'm noticing on your phone you're not at church. Why are you not? Like, literally, this is so they will know this is a value that actually really matters. My mum's not like a professional. I go, we do this because we're Christians. So we're Jesus followers. So it's not your mum is a professional speaker.
Yeah. Even if you were like a dentist or a doctor.
If I was whatever it is, this is the job. But we are followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
And as for us and our house, we are going to serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to serve. You are going to serve. You're going to, you don't get a free ride in this sense, like, because we follow Jesus and we do it because we love God and it's a high value. So I got off the plane and I had, so I had to go twice. When I say I had to go twice, it's like I would, but even on what would be a weekend off, because one kid could come from college on one day. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, we're going to be in church as a family. And the other one could come the other day.
Wow,
and so it was like, this
committed.
Is what we're getting. But because Nick and I want to make sure, and you've got to do it for whatever works with you. I never want my kids to think I'm a professional Christian.
Right.
So it's actually harder when you do what I do to then use it as an excuse, because I want them to say, we love Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is a high value. Serving people is a high value. And this is how you change the world. You learn to prioritize. You learn to do things when you're tired. You learn to do things when it's hard. And again, I've got to tell you, Jessica, to be honest, post-COVID, I'm even more militant about it because I think we've developed some bad, lazy habits.
For sure.
And so I'm like, I don't want my kids to get into that. And I want them to see, you know, I come back and this trip, I've come back from countries like Qatar and Pakistan, where people are being killed for being a Christian.
Exactly.
And we're going,
we can't even get out of
church this week.
Right.
And I'm like, so I say that to my kids. So I go, people are losing their lives for being Jesus followers. Mm-hmm. They're coming out at Easter and could potentially lose their life.
Yeah.
And we're wondering, which of the nine services will I go to, if any? And I'm like, are we for real? Are we for real here? So I guess we're being raw, but that's the bottom line.
Yes.
So yes.
Well, and I remember reading one of your books a long time ago, Can I Please Have It All and Do It All? And something that has always stuck with me when you said, you know, because as moms, you can get so busy, like, oh, I have to go get, you know, these perfect cupcakes for this party or this birthday party or make them, you know, all these little things that can bog you down. And then you said, you know, but are you doing things that bear fruit in your life? And so I think that kind of aligns with what you're saying. If we're wanting to raise world changers, as moms, are we busy, you know, taking long trips to Target or making sure we have the perfect, you know, little parties for everyone? Is that bearing fruit, eternal fruit?
And who's going to remember that? I never felt like, gee, I have to have the killer cupcakes.
Right.
I could stop at my grocery store and I'd say to my kids, and we've got great donuts shops here in Southern California. So I'd say, I'll get the best donuts. Yeah. You don't even want me to make them. I will get the best one. So my kids loved it and the other kids loved it and the teachers loved that I would bring sidecar donuts to school.
Yes.
And they were like, please don't cook, Christine. But I would save all that time instead of trying to go, look, I'm trying to impress people.
Yeah.
There would be a couple of mums that would try to shame me, like, you're not being a good mum. But now they realize your kids get older and they go, wow, your kids turned out okay. And you didn't take. And the mums that loved it to cook, I'd be like, I'm getting you all the ingredients and I'm so glad. And thanks. Can my kids come to your kitchen and do it? And so then.
Well, it takes a village. Well, totally.
And instead of judging each other and going, you know, you're a bad mum because, like, who said that's a bad mom?
Well, that segues perfectly into my next question about mom guilt. I have never met a mom that says, I'm just the best mom.
Yeah, totally.
I've never met one that has said, I am amazing. Let me show you my ways. Not one. Every mom thinks they're not doing a good enough job.
Yeah.
Even compared to themselves, even if they're not comparing themselves, but comparing themselves to themselves, they feel like they're not doing a good enough job. So mom guilt seems to be a thread consistently. How would you encourage moms with mom guilt?
Yeah, I know. It's such a real thing. I'm thinking of all the moms watching this. I think ultimately, we have to remember that before we're a mother, we're a daughter of the King. So you have to know what your identity is in Christ. First and foremost, you have to know that we are beloved daughters. And I think the guilt gets worse when we forget that we're loved by God and that we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, both to empower us and, I want to say this, to make up for our mistakes. Mm-hmm. He fills the gaps. Like, who doesn't go to bed at night and go, I hope I did it right. I hope I made the right call.
Yes.
I don't feel like I was there enough.
Right.
We all do, me included. But I can't tell you how many nights I would be like, Lord, I think Nick and I are doing the best we can. I think we're following your call. But I know I wasn't there today when Soph came home from school and needed someone. So, God, I've got to trust that your Holy Spirit. Like, I think at the end of the day, we're all doing as best as we can. And even at times when maybe we didn't and we know we could have done better, we have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God and the love of God and to understand that he does love us and that our kids don't expect us to be perfect. They just want us to love them and to be there for them and to be full of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I think some of our mum guilt is when we're trying to play savior. And here's my deal. I cannot be Catherine and Sophia's savior.
That's good.
Only Jesus can.
That's good. And we do want to save them. They're our babies.
Of course.
Mama
we do.
Bear comes out.
She comes out. And there's one thing, defending
them, good.
Doing the best. But what Nick and I have had to settle early on is to be faithful followers of Jesus, it is going to mean that I have to trust my daughters to this same Jesus. This same Jesus that saved me, this same Jesus that delivered me. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think, I could do a better job because I'm like, where are you? Like, let's wrap this up, God. Like,
it's taking too long.
You could really intervene.
The pruning season has been long enough.
Oh my gosh. But it's a real act of faith. And I think we've got to discern. And I hope I'm setting some women free that sometimes our mum guilt is because we're trying to play savior when we go to that. And our mum guilt comes because we think someone's going to think I'm a bad mum because my kid's acting out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know parents from all around the world that I'm 10 times more godly than me, Jessica. Like 10, they've done everything right 100 times better than I have. So godly. They've read every parenting book and done everything. And honestly, for like a season, I thought their kids were the Antichrist. I'm like, listen, I don't even have this. I thought like, okay. I have seen those parents travail for their children, intercede for their children. So this is why I want to take mum guilt off people because honestly, I've seen parents, and this is, I'm 57, so I've seen a lot, that were the most neglectful. I'm thinking like,
oh, and your kids turned out amazing.
I'm like, your kids are like saints.
Yes.
What is going on?
We have a joke like, we should have just let them raise themselves on our bridge and they would turn out better.
Literally. Like, so this is what I want to say. It is. So you can't put that pressure on you. And
I think that's true. Yeah. And they make their own choices when they're older.
They have a free will.
They have a free will.
And we preach this. Mm-hmm. Like we say this. Mm-hmm. We go, people have a free will, which means our children. And I wish they didn't. You know, I wish they didn't. When my kid came wanting her first tattoo, I'm like, really? Really? We're going to go there. And so you just go, okay, I'm going to have to navigate this. She is an adult, mm-hmm. and she is subject to the same God. Mm-hmm. And so Christine is, what is this? Is this because you're going to feel shame, guilt? Are you going to be worried about what other people think about you? Or are you able to unconditionally love your child and entrust your child to God? Mm-hmm. Now, that's a hard one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, but that's really what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's so easy to preach it, right? Isn't it? But then when it comes to your kid, you're like, wait.
You cringe and you suddenly go down and then you go, what is coming out of you, Christine? Are you going to entrust them? Are you going to love them? Mm-hmm. And it's a faith. Every mum watching this, raising kids, it's a faith walk.
Yeah.
We are trusting that the same God that loves us and the same God that saved us is the same God that is the hound of heaven that is chasing our kids. Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's hard.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to pretend that it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also want to say that he does love.
That's so
and he will
good.
Come
I think
them.
That's very freeing. I read a quote recently too that said, a bad moment doesn't make a bad mom.
No.
You know, and I thought that was really freeing. Like moms, we have moments, you know, totally. And we let those moments haunt us, you know, and it was a moment. It doesn't mean you're
and
bad
who doesn't?
Mom.
Like we all do. How many times do we rehearse? Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have had that tone of voice. I shouldn't have said. But you know what? Kids are quick to forgive. Mm-hmm. I've learned to be very quick to apologize. Mm-hmm. And I have found my adult kids, they're like, Mom, you know, we're glad, like, we're glad you don't pretend to be perfect.
Yeah.
We're glad. And yeah. I find that if I'm just quick to repent,
yeah.
to ask their forgiveness, them seeing my humanity, well, it's just the way it is. I think if we try to pretend that we're more perfect than we are, mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
And it doesn't teach them to be
quick to
apologize.
Yeah.
So I speak to a lot of moms. I know you speak to a lot of moms that have grown adult children or teenagers that have gotten deeply involved in some sort of addiction. Are they way off the path, rebellious? Some of the friends you're talking about, you know, and their hearts are broken. They're like a shell of a person when you talk to them. It's like their spirit is sucked out of them. How, I know there's some moms watching right now that are saying, that's me, I need help, you know. How would you encourage those moms right now?
I'm so tender because, and I have so many friends, you know, I think, but for the grace of God, I haven't had to walk that particular path with my girls, but so many close friends really have. Here's the first thing. Number one, it is not your fault. And God sees and he does care. I think it's so important because sometimes we think, doesn't God care? Mm-hmm. Has he abandoned me? Does this, what could I have done different? You know, you go through the list of what could I have done? Is this my fault? And the enemy can get into, let's not forget, above everything, there is an enemy that wants our kids.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget that. Like, we give ourselves too much credit.
Yeah.
There is actually a cosmic journey
you're
happening
totally
here.
Right.
There is an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy our kids and our lives. Mm-hmm. And so here's what I want to say to every parent. We weren't meant to do this alone. I think, now, of course, we don't want to, many things are not our story to tell. So we're not in a position. So some people go, you were keeping secrets. Well, no, we're protecting our kids in terms of like, it's not my story to say everything that my child's gone.
Yeah.
It's their story.
Right.
But you don't have to do it alone. Mm-hmm. You have to find a safe and trusted place where we have to get help. And so us either denying, especially we're talking in the context now of addictions, and covering is not going to help. It's not going to help them. Enabling them is not going to help them. And, you know, we love our kids so much, but people that have fallen into addictions can become extremely manipulative.
Yeah.
Because we've got a mother's heart, we're going to get sucked in time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. So you need someone to help you not get sucked into that vortex.
That's good.
So I want to say, you put your hand up. There is, I'm sure even within our church here, there are, you know, certain pastoral care, very highly private people that you can talk to, counselors that can really give you good advice. And I think we need to get, because don't think we can solve everything. We can pray, yes, but we're not all psychologists or therapists. And because we're too close, honestly, we can be so easily manipulated. I know I can from my daughters. And then then you throw an addiction into this and then all because of the addiction, the secrecy, the lies, the manipulation, you can get sucked into everything. So then you become an enabler instead of a helper. Mm-hmm. So you need someone to come alongside.
Take the rose-colored glasses
definitely,
off.
And to help you. Mm-hmm. And then to help you make the right decisions or to stop enabling, to put boundaries up, to help your son or daughter to get help. And then the hardest thing will be until they're ready to get help to put the right boundaries so that you're not taken advantage of. And that is so hard for any mum.
What have you seen that has been the catalyst to help some of these moms and dads with a child that's super rebellious? Like, you've met a lot of people. What, yep, when you look back on it, what's the thread you've seen that's helped? Obviously, besides prayer.
But. Yeah, of course, prayer. And there, but I think it is when we get to an understanding, and normally we're going to, it doesn't matter what I say now, you're going to do everything you can to try to help, to, you're going to go the extra mile 100,000 times. You're going to go to the pig pen to try to dig them out 100,000 times. Okay, so whatever I say, I know you're going to do that. Then there will be a come to Jesus moment where you're going to realize, I'm not God. I can't do, I've done everything I can over and over, and normally for years and years.
Yeah.
And
with a depleted bank account.
With all of that, you've run out of resource.
Yeah.
It's almost cost you your own marriage, yeah, because of what has happened, and you're at the end of yourself. You're at the end of yourself, and physically you're sick.
Yeah.
You're borderline, you get into your own addictions to try to cope with what's going on. You've lost, your heart has become hardened or cold. You get disappointed towards God, or maybe even offended towards God. You're like, where are you? Have you left me? Normally it takes us to get there. Yeah. So I wish you'd listen, and so you don't have to get there, because, and then you go, okay, I can't. And so you finally give up,
yeah,
enough to actually really give them to God and stop bailing them out. Then you've got enough of a support group around you that you, like the father, you're not going to go chasing the son in the pig pen. Mm-hmm. You're going to wait till he comes to himself. Mm-hmm. And because that's the only way, all of us that have been parents for any amount of time, is it doesn't really matter how much I say and do. I'm going to say and do whatever I can, but until my kids come to themselves and then have a come to Jesus moment with Jesus.
And you've seen that, that's kind of the catalyst you've seen work a lot of times.
That's,
well, that's encouraging to know, yes, you know.
Well, totally, because it takes the pressure off you. Mm-hmm. And I think the sooner you take the pressure off yourself and give them to God, truly give them to God, and go, my day is not going to be altered based on how their day is. Mm-hmm. Honestly, you start to see things actually start to change a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Okay, so I have another question.
Yes. I've got all the easy ones, girls. I've got all the easy ones.
Well, you are the expert. Okay, so we were talking earlier about just how different it is in our society raising kids than when we raised ours.
Yeah.
I used to be able to let my kids watch a cartoon and not even worry about what was going to be on the, yeah, cartoon. You know, nowadays they can't even watch certain Disney shows. And it's just, I feel like we're in this upside down world where what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong. And a lot of moms are really like, feel like they're swimming upstream, having to be these like hyper vigilant about protecting their family values. How would you encourage those moms right now?
Yeah. Firstly, I want to say God bless you. And no one wants to minimize or deny the reality of the moment we're in. You know, I'm 57. I've lived through a lot of generations of young people, a lot of iterations of television, mm-hmm, streaming, social media platforms. It has never been like it is right now. I agree. You know, we've often gone.
So they're not crazy.
No, that's what I want to say to you. Yeah. You know, when you're thinking it's never been like this, it really has never been like this. Like, don't let anyone say, well, it was that in my day, because it wasn't.
Uh-uh.
We've got to navigate. What do you do when your child comes home and says, Mummy, we're Christians. We're supposed to love everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I mean, these are the things you're navigating. This is like the reality. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is it takes bold courage to truly be a loving parent, because love is loving everyone, but it is not at the expense of truth. So Jesus was full of grace and truth.
Grace and truth.
So this is my challenge, even with my own daughters. We absolutely love everyone, but we do not endorse every form of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the way God designed things according to his word is that marriage is between one man and one woman. We believe that God, with intentionality, created everyone in their mother's womb, mm-hmm, male or female. And that is the way. And I go, I know we're living in a world, mm-hmm, that you know, we believe these truths to be self-evident. Apparently, people don't anymore. Apparently,
yeah, exactly.
Some truths are no longer self-evident. Yeah. And I'm like, people have lost their ever-loving minds.
They are. So, it's,
you know,
just crazy.
Just, I can't even believe we're having this conversation. I go, there are many other things that we could go, this is great.
Yeah.
This is maybe, you know, you're going to go into a country where maybe a lot of people drink or a lot of people do this. Let's... okay, some things are not great.
Yeah. Yeah,
God creating you in your mother's womb and life starting at conception, not great.
Yeah.
You are a boy, you are a girl, not great. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the only way to God, not great. And I go, so it would not be loving. So it's grace and truth. Mm-hmm. So I guess why am I saying all of this? Now, you know, I've got plenty of people that have got young children. I'm going, you have to be hypervigilant about what they watch. Mm-hmm. And even if they...
who they're around.
Their friends. Even if they get annoyed with you, I'm sorry, you are their mother. You are going to be accountable before God. I mean, I live in a state that basically all but denies parents any rights of their children. But but I tell parents, we are standing before God. We are going to, God gave me those children. And we are, and I'm unapologetic about that. And, you know, I'm contending with it, with mothers. You know, you're in the great nation of Texas. You still have some rights there. You know, I live in... here in Southern California.
Complete opposite of where we live.
We'd be having an even more a stronger Mother's Day message. I mean, thank God, even I want to just commend you for having the courage to have this kind of Mother's Day message, because this is what we need to be talking about, because this is the world we're living in.
You know? Well, and these are our future leaders. Old people, they're going to be rolling.
And we can't stick our heads into the ground and ignore it, because our kids are growing up in this world. So mothers, I know you're sort of going, please help me. Yeah. How do I raise kids? Please don't underestimate the power of prayer. Mm-hmm. And you may not see short-term quick results. We live in such a warped world. So I'm not a defeatist. I'm saying you've got to contend. So mums, this is not a time to put on your sweatpants and skip church. Mm-hmm. This is a time where we have got to come together. I tell you, our small groups, our women's groups, this is not a day of like necessarily, you know, let's paint our nails, put your cute lipstick on, but go to war. This is when we have to know the weapons of our warfare. We have to know how to pray. We have to know how to put on the armor of God and contend for our children. So what I'm saying is really for American mums, no time for complacency, no time for ease, no time for sitting back. We have got to go to war in the spirit for our kids, because the world is getting darker. The first phrase I taught my children was suck it up, sailor. And so from day one, it was, and I remember, Sophia, I don't want to suck it up, mommy. And I'd be like, honey, life is hard. In the words of the Navy SEALs, the only easy day was yesterday. And so, I'm teaching you effective parenting. It's like,
Navy SEAL.
You think this is it. Yeah. Did you know, there's people eating through genocides. Children don't have, yes, okay, this would be like, this is having Chris Kane as a mom.
Yeah. No but wonder they're so like, level-headed.
And so then it's like, truly...
Next, you need to start a school. How about
literally.
That?
And I taught them from very, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. Mm-hmm. And so if God has given us access to this, then God requires much of us. Yeah.
So I've heard you say that laughter is a huge thing in your household. Y'all are always laughing. You'll have a lot of fun. And I love that. I mean, everybody wants a fun mom. We're supposed to be fun moms. We want to be fun moms, right? We want to be. But sometimes... you've worked all day. You're exhausted. The last thing you want to do is deal with making something fun with your kids. You just want to crawl in your bed and go to bed, right?
Yeah.
So how do you find the time intentionally to make fun in your house and be a fun mom when you're, you know, having to like clean up after dinner or clean up the house? You just got home from work and you're tired. And do you plan things intentionally? Is it organically? Is it a little bit of both? How do you make sure that you're being a fun mom when you're so busy working all the time and tired?
It's a bit of both, but I've had to, and, you know, I'm a one on the Enneagram, so perfection, I can tend towards that. I've become more fun as I've become less demanding of perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So being able, you know, there was a time... to have clothes, and I am very tidy and I am very ordered, but with the kids, when I decided I'm no longer going to freak out about their bedrooms, mm-hmm. and they didn't get my gift of ordering, and you know, they would, even if I put a washing basket in their bedroom, their idea of in the basket and my idea of in the basket were two very different things. When I just learned to shut the door, keep out the devil, and it changed everything because it actually freed up all of that energy.
I made that same decision when my boys were teenagers. I'm like, I'm not doing this over and over every day.
It just changed. And that, and then suddenly I became fun. But I would have to stay in a fun mode, I'd have to not look. And then we kind of came up with agreements of like, all right, then you're going to have to take this down at some point or whatever. But the more I went, Chris, you're just going to have to chill. Maybe every dish isn't going to be washed. Maybe all the clothes are not going to be. Maybe they're going to look more disgruntled than you would like them to look, you know. But you're going to laugh a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I settled for that. So I think that you've got to be willing to just kind of go, well, it's just not all going to get done today.
Okay, so last but not least, I feel like single moms are the unsung heroes.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's hard enough being a mom with a husband. I mean, can you imagine being a single mom without one? So I always just want to praise them and encourage them.
Totally.
How would you encourage single moms today?
You are my heroes. I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
And you're like truly, only eternity will be truly reward you for the fact that you've hung in there. I barely even need to say it because the single moms could be telling us about how much the amount of single moms I talk to that tell me it's God, it's the Holy Spirit that helps them and kind of he does fill in the gaps and it is easy to beat yourself up, but you have to know that I think God gives a special blessing to single moms. He's a husband to the, you know, to the woman that has no husband and a father to the fatherless. Mm-hmm. And I just want to encourage you. I also want to encourage you to not think you have to be in this alone. You're part of a great church. Mm-hmm. There are support groups. And to the people that are not single moms out there, I want to encourage you. You know, some of you, if they've got sons, some of you dads, like, you know, involve the sons into, bring them into your orbit, into your kids' world. And you know what I'm saying? Like bring them in. Other mums where you go, you know, sometimes the greatest gift you can give to a single mum, depending on how old the kids are, is just to say, you know what, for one night, I'll come and babysit your kids. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what it would mean to a single mum just to have 2 hours to be able to go. So don't be scared to ask for help, number one. Number two, the rest of us, how about we open our eyes a little bit and go, how can we jump in and make that work in whatever way? But man, you're my hero.
Oh, yes, definitely they are. Well, this is just like gold. You are gold. Thank you so much, Christine. I know you're so busy.
No, I love you so dearly and I love the church so dearly.
Church Limited loves you and we're going to have her back.
I'm coming.
I hear
you've got ocean. You've got ocean. Okay.
She was shocked.
I was shocked and you all hit me in my DMs of good restaurants because Miss Jessica's telling me there are great restaurants in Corpus Christi. I want to come. San Antonio, I already know you've got them.
Yeah. Well, y'all heard it right here. We have her on camera. She's coming. All right. Thank you, Christine.
Love you.
Appreciate it. Love you too.